Well, Formula One racing is back this weekend in Melbourne, including all support categories across Network 10. And joining us now is Formula One journalist Tom Clarkson. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, really well, thank you. And naturally for us, the focus is on Oscar Piastri. 22 years of age next week, his birthday is. It's his first home Grand Prix. I guess tell us a bit about his temperament and ability to handle the pressure from what you can gather so far.
He's been hugely, hugely impressive so far. We're only two races into his Formula One career. And actually, the 2 points you raised there are what is so impressive about him. He is super calm, super cool, and completely unflustered, as well as being extremely quick. Imagine you're coming into Formula One with one of the most historic teams in Formula One. There was a tug of war over your services, as there was last year between Alpine and McLaren. McLaren won it. So he's got a huge amount of pressure. There's everyone saying, you know, is he worth this fight that happened last year? And yet Oscar is as cool as you like. He's charming, he's funny. And then the moment the visor comes down, he's really fast. The team tell me that his feedback about the car is excellent. And, you know, he made it into Q3, the top 10 in qualifying last time out in Saudi Arabia. He out-qualified his highly rated teammate, Lando Norris. All he needs is a good car, and I'm confident he's going to get great results in Formula One.
You mentioned, Tom, how calm he is, and, you know, he mightn't feel the nerves, but being you're on home soil for the first time, there'd be a bit more focus on him. People would want a bit more of his time. Do you see him maybe getting a little bit overwhelmed or not really?
Well, I mean, it's a good point, right? And he was here last year in his capacity as reserve driver for Alpine. So he had a lot of media things to do at this race last year, even though he wasn't actually racing himself. And I think he's very lucky that he's got Mark Webber in his stable. Mark is his manager, and for anyone listening who's not aware who Mark Webber is, Mark won 9 Grand Prix for Red Bull. He was, you know, the hero of Australia back in 2002 when he finished 5th in a Minardi. And Mark, I think, learned how to deal with time management ahead of the Melbourne Grand Prix when he was a driver, and he's passed that on to Oscar. So I think he's not going to be overwhelmed by the amount of media requests, the amount of fan requests. I think that'll be managed very professionally by the team and by Mark. And so all Oscar's got to do is focus on the racing. And the crazy thing is that this is Oscar's first car race in Australia. He karted here, but then at the age of 14, he went to England to pursue his racing career. So he's never actually done a car race in Australia before. Where better to start than in Formula One?
So what's the expectation then for him this season? And just in general overall, when a young guy with a huge amount of talent comes into F1, what's the expectation on them to finish whereabouts?
Well, you're only as good as your car in Formula One. And unfortunately for Oscar, McLaren's MCL 60, as they call it, because it's 60 years since McLaren was founded. So that's what they've called the car this year. But the MCL 60 is not a great car at the minute. It's not as fast in a straight line as the cars around it, that it would hope to be around it, the sort of midfield. It's not got enough downforce through the corners. So in terms of expectation on Oscar, it's actually, I mean, of course, he wants to be winning races as soon as possible, but there is no pressure of expectation on him at the minute because the McLaren isn't good enough. So therefore, he can learn his trade at the top echelon, you know, out of the spotlight in a way. So you could argue that this is a brilliant time for Oscar to be joining McLaren in that they've got lots of money. They've got a new wind tunnel that's coming on stream later this year. They've got an aggressive recruitment policy, and they're hiring some great people to come and work in that wind tunnel. So I think McLaren will get better, but it won't be until really 2024, 2025, by which time Oscar will have some experience in Formula One and he'll be ready to deliver the results. So there is no pressure. He could finish in the points this weekend. If there's, you know, a little bit of jeopardy ahead of him on the racetrack, there may well be, I think, rain on Sunday. That's the forecast. And so anything can happen. And he'll keep his nose clean because he's that kind of a driver. So he could finish in the points. But equally, if he doesn't, no one's going to think any the worse of him.
Tom, Red Bull expected to be dominant again, according to the betting markets. But Max Verstappen and Sergio Perez, the Mexican, how frosty is it between these two?
Mate, it's sub-zero.
And it's, as bad as Mark Webber and Sebastian Vettel?
Yeah, do you know what? I could see it very much becoming a bit like that. Do you remember some of those great quotes that Mark came out with? You know, not bad for a number two driver. Multi 21 in Malaysia in 2013 where Sebastian overtook Mark, even though they've been told to hold station with Mark in the lead. But yeah, I really noticed a difference, funnily enough, after the Saudi Grand Prix. One of my jobs is to host the post-race press conference with the drivers. And you know, Checo won that Grand Prix 2 weeks ago in Saudi Arabia. Max was second, having driven a brilliant race from 15th on the grid. But Max was furious. He said, I'm not here to finish second. And Checo, I think, was loving the fact that his newfound speed this year is starting to get under the skin of Max a little bit, because this is Checo's third season with Red Bull. And in both of the previous seasons, he hasn't really been a constant threat to Max. He's won a few races, but his performances have been inconsistent. Whereas we're two races into this season, and Checo has been right on the money in both, which we haven't seen before. He says that of the three Red Bulls he's driven, this is the one he's most confident in. So I think even though Red Bull are light years ahead of the opposition, and in Saudi Arabia during the race, there were moments when they were 1.5 seconds faster than any other car in the race, I think we're still going to have a great championship between these two drivers. And you only need two drivers to make a great championship. Think of 2016 when we had Nico Rosberg and Lewis Hamilton going hammer and tongs, or, you know, Webber and Vettel back in the day. Probably 2010 is the year you choose for those two. Or Ayrton Senna, Alain Prost in 1988, 89. You know, Checo is going to challenge Max Verstappen this year. I really believe that. And let's hope it happens, because the car is really, really strong.
What do the drivers think of the circuit, Tom, and yourself? Is it a challenging circuit, or is it an easy circuit compared to others?
Well, it's a challenging track in that the walls are very close in places. So mistakes are going to get punished, and therefore, you know, you do see jeopardy. That's a word I used a little bit earlier. But in terms of, you will see some safety cars because someone is going to lose it and put it in the wall. It's a slippery track surface, which the drivers find a little bit frustrating because the car doesn't necessarily behave in the way they want. The guys at Albert Park changed the layout for last year's race. They made it a lot faster. And then new for this year is that there is a fourth DRS zone. And that's not some cricket terminology that suddenly come into Formula One. It is the DRS is a flap on the back of the car that opens and closes. And when it's open, the car gains about 20 kph in a straight line. Well, there are four of those zones this year for the first time. So I think you're going to see the cars setting really fast lap times. It also helps with overtaking when the DRS is open as well. So there were 27 passes on track last year. I think we're going to get that or more in this year's Grand Prix. The drivers love it. I think the drivers love just the Australian Grand Prix. Everyone loves coming to Melbourne. Everyone loves the enthusiasm of the crowd. There's going to be 140,000 people on race day crammed into Albert Park, which is more than there's ever been in the history of the race since 1996. So the atmosphere will be amazing. And, you know, it's a prestigious trophy to win. And, and it's the 70th anniversary of the Grand Prix in Albert Park as well. Back in 1953, the first race was held there. So, you know, it's a historic venue and everyone loves it.
Well, before you go, Tom, got to get your tips for the podium. What do you think it'll be?
I think... God. It's so difficult. Yeah, I think... Do you know what? I think we're going to get the jeopardy I keep talking about. I think we're going to see Max Verstappen win the Grand Prix because he's only ever had one podium here in Melbourne. And that was the third place back in 2019. And he'll be hungry to change that. And he's certainly got the car to do it. I then think we're going to see a much stronger weekend from Ferrari. Remember that Charles Leclerc won the Grand Prix here last year by 20 seconds, completely dominated the whole race. And the cars haven't changed that much since last year. So although Ferrari haven't been making good headlines this year, I think they'll have their most competitive weekend of the year so far. And Leclerc is brilliantly fast. So I'm going Verstappen 1, Leclerc 2. And come on, let's get Fernando Alonso back in there. His third consecutive podium it'll be. So I'm going to go for Alonso 3rd.
Tom, really appreciate your time. Enjoy the Grand Prix.
Nah, pleasure, guys. Great to speak to you. Thank you.